BGMO OncoTalks, a podcast series that gives you regular updates on practice-changing news in the field of oncology.
Radical surgery with or without cisplatin-based neoadjuvant chemotherapy is the backbone of the current treatment strategy for patients with muscle-invasive urothelial carcinoma. For the moment, there is no evidence supporting adjuvant therapy in this setting, but several studies are looking into this. At ASCO 2020, Professor Maha Hussain, oncologist at the Comprehensive Cancer Center of the Northwestern University in Chicago, presented the results of the Phase 3 IMvigor 10 study, evaluating the use of adjuvant atezolizumab in this setting.
Muscle-invasive urothelial cancer is a disease that can be deadly. The standard of care over the past, three decades have pretty much identified the role of neoadjuvant chemotherapy, cisplatin-based chemotherapy, plus surgery as the standard of care. This has a highest chance of longer survival and potential cure. However, for a good number of patients who are either not eligible for cisplatin chemotherapy because of age, comorbidities, or other factors, or decline it for one reason or another, generally, surgery would be the primary definitive treatment. So primarily because even in the context of curative intent treatment, somewhere about 50% of the patients, depending on the stage of disease, could be higher or could be slightly lower, have a high chance of dying from urothelial carcinomas, specifically bladder cancer, after definitive curative intent therapy. And so atezolizumab is a PD-L1 inhibitor, and it's an immune checkpoint inhibitor indicated as monotherapy in multiple disease settings in urothelial carcinoma. It has demonstrated actually significant response rate, delay to progression, and so on. So our hypothesis that if we were to take this effective treatment in advanced disease and advance it into earlier stages of the disease, we may have a better chance of enhancing outcomes and increasing the cure rate. So IMvigor 010 was a randomized prospective clinical trial that included patients who had high-risk muscle-invasive urothelial cancer of either the bladder, renal pelvis, or the ureter. So the upper tract, the lower tract was not included. And the patients had to have had definitive surgery, which is either radical cystectomy with lymph node dissection or nephroureterectomy with lymph node dissection. And the window of about 14 weeks from the date of the surgery was required. Now, the trial did allow patients who have received neoadjuvant chemotherapy. However, if they received neoadjuvant chemotherapy, at a minimum, they would have had to have a residual disease of pathologic T2 up to T4A or irrespective of T status node positive disease. In the setting of patients who have not received neoadjuvant chemotherapy, at a minimum, they had to have a pathologic T3 or up to T4A or pathologic node positive disease. There was patients who actually, say, had surgery and were found to have high-risk disease would have had to be declined or ineligible to receive cisplatin-based adjuvant chemotherapy. And then, obviously, adequate performance status and so on. Now, the study was stratified by a variety of prognostically important factors, including the number of lymph nodes that were removed at the time of the surgery, if they have received prior neoadjuvant chemo or not, the lymph node status, if they had positive nodes or not, the pathologic T status, and the PD-L status for them. And then there was a one-to-one randomization after stratification by risk factors to atezolizumab, which was the conventional dose, 1,200 milligrams every 3 weeks for a total of 1 year or 16 cycles or observation. So overall, I would say the treatment was fairly well tolerated. There were not many high-grade adverse events. However, the primary endpoint, which was disease-free survival, and of note, I should point out that the study design, the primary endpoint was disease-free survival, and this was a hierarchical design with the primary, as I mentioned, being the disease-free survival. The statistical design was based on an 80% power to detect the hazard ratio of 0.75 on the assumption that the control arm will have a median disease-free survival of 20 months. And basically, 800 patients were required for this particular design. And at the end of the day, the disease-free survival, unfortunately, while it was longer in the atezo arm, 19.4 months, it compared to the 16.6 months in the observation arm, it did not reach statistical significance. The hazard ratio was 0.89, but the p-value was not significant. So that was really the bottom line in terms of the primary endpoint. The with regard to the disease-free survival by PDL status, also there was no trends and no differences there. And then in the different subgroups that were pre-specified by the design of the trial, also there was no trends that were favoring a specific group with regard to disease-free survival. The overall survival right now is still ongoing. The median has not been reached yet. Again, there is currently no obvious trends that shows any differences, and will be interesting to see, obviously, as the data is more mature, what it would look like.
So, unfortunately, a negative trial. Nevertheless, these findings do not mean the end for atezolizumab in this setting and several other adjuvant studies in patients with muscle-invasive urothelial carcinoma are still ongoing.
Currently, there are other trials that are ongoing with atezo in different settings as monotherapy or in combination therapy in metastatic disease or in non-muscle-invasive disease and bladder preservation strategies. And specifically, there is a SWOG trial that is SWOG 1806, which is looking at, this is a phase three randomized clinical trial that's looking at concurrent chemo radiotherapy with or without atezolizumab in muscle-invasive bladder cancer. The intent in this one is bladder preservation. There are other trials, not with atezo, but with other checkpoint inhibitors, that are basically including adjuvant immune therapy with other different agents. So I think there are still other trials, and I think it's going to be very important to see what will be next in there. The one currently available with adjuvant Pembro is the Ambassador trial, which is adjuvant, again, post-surgery. There are two other trials, the Niagara and the Nile trials, which you could pull up the information on. Looking at, again, I call it adjuvant, but it's all in the context of, you know, different designs in there.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this BGMO OncoTalk. For more BGMO OncoTalks, please visit us at www.bgmo.be. Until next time!